Prayers.
Without whose help, labor is useless. Without whose light, search is vain. We, their unworthy servants here gathered together in their name, do most humbly beseech thee to send down thy heavenly wisdom from above to direct and guide us in all our deliberations, and laying aside all private interest, prejudices, and partial affections, the result of all our counsels may be to the glory of thy blessed name.
Now past 10, I move that SO5 to be suspended to commence the business of the House.
Any seconder?
Mr. Speaker, I still second.
Honorable members, it has been moved and seconded that SO5 to be suspended so that the business of the House may commence. It being past 10. All those in favor say aye. All those against say nay. The ayes have it.
Record of votes and proceedings for Wednesday, 26th April 2017.
There, Mr. Anthony, there is one for the 25th. So announce again and announce accordingly.
Record of votes and proceedings for Tuesday, 25th and Wednesday, 26th April 2017.
Respectively. Honorable members, we'll go to the votes and proceedings of the 25th. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Yes. You went on an oversight. Did the clerk's office receive any notification to the effect? You did? Well, mark him down. Okay. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. And page 9. There be no other correction. Will somebody move for the adoption of the record of votes and proceedings for the 25th of April 2017?
I so move, Mr. Speaker.
Any seconder?
I so second.
It has been moved and seconded that the votes and proceedings for Tuesday, 25th April 2017 be adopted. All those in favor say aye. All those against say nay. The ayes have it.
Record of votes and proceedings for Tuesday, 25th April 2017 has been adopted.
Yes, continue.
Record of votes and proceedings for Wednesday, 26th April 2017.
Honorable members, we go accordingly. Page 1, page 2, page 3. Page 4 and page 5. There have been no corrections or amendments. Would somebody move for the adoption of the votes and proceedings for Wednesday, 26 April 2017?
So
moved,
Mr. Speaker.
Any seconder?
So second, Mr. Speaker.
Binet has just come and he has moved. Honorable members. No, that is quite in place. But honorable members, they have been here. This is more for you. Next time, if you give me the calls, I will comment. and it will not be palatable. Any seconder? That it be moved and seconded that the votes and proceedings for 26 April 2017 be adopted. All those in favor say aye. Those against say nay. The ayes are it.
Record of votes and proceedings for Wednesday, 26 April 2017 has been adopted. Laying of papers. The Minister of Transport and Aviation.
Mr. Leader, is the minister here?
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I have received absolutely no communication from the minister. I therefore cannot say anything on his behalf.
Okay, proceed. All of the papers on the other paper have to be led by the Minister of Transport and Aviation.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, this is the work Parliament is doing, and they go on complaining. We have listed all these documents, and he knows that he has to lay all of them. These papers have been here for some time.
But was he informed?
Indeed, he was, Mr. Speaker, okay. And he is not here today.
All right, okay. Proceed.
MPs go about saying Parliament does not do its work.
Okay. But there is a deputy, Rado. There is a deputy. That is no excuse. Proceed.
Motion of the Committee on Appointments and the Public Service. Proposer, Honorable Leonard S. Fofana. Seconder, Honorable Gladys G. Bapi Brahma.
And honorable members, I will support the acclamation.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the honorable Gladys Grappi Bremer is an outstanding member of the Committee on Appointments. And her elevation to that position, even though temporary, but is commendable. Having said that, Mr. Speaker, may I proceed, please?
Please do.
Fourth report of the Committee on Appointments and the Public Service on Parliamentary Vetting of Presidential Nominations. One, introduction. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the Committee on Appointments and the Public Service, alive to his constitutional mandate to vet and approve of appropriately qualified candidates for appointment to public office, met on Thursday, 4th May 2017, and interviewed two presidential nominees for appointment as follows. One, Chairman, National Protection Area Authority, NPAA.
Can we, Mr. Leader, is it protection or protected?
Protected Area Authority.
Go over it again.
One, Chairman, National Protected Area Authority, NPAA. Two, Member, Minerals Advisory Board. Two, procedure. The committee conducted the hearings within a set framework of procedures. The nominees were interviewed on issues pertaining to their education and background to ensure that they have the relevant education.
Yes. No, not yet. And honorable Frank, you are senior. You should know that. You are senior. Age. My dad, this woman, and I'm practicing paper.
Okay, sir. Two, procedure. The committee conducted the hearings within the set framework of procedures. The nominees were interviewed on issues pertaining to their educational background to ensure that they have the relevant education and necessary backup experience to man such important offices of state. Further probing questions put to the nominees covered wide-ranging issues relating to their track records in pertinent work situations, declared assets, tax obligations, and their visions for a nationally productive tenure. Issues of unsuitability or otherwise were also closely looked into. 3. Fifth sitting of the committee on Thursday, 4th May 2017. The following nominees were interviewed on oath. One, Dr. Nana Clarice Efua Pratt.
Dr. Pratt, are you physically fit?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Dr. Nana Clarice Efua Pratt, proposed chairman, National Protected Area Authority, NPAA. Dr. Nana Clarice Efua Pratt is a retired lecturer in chemistry who could be counted amongst the longest serving lecturers in Furobe College, FBC, University of Australia. She was lecturer in Inorganic and Analytical Chemistry, Furobe College, University of Australia, 1974 to 1982, senior lecturer in Divisional Head, Inorganic and Analytical Chemistry, Furobe College, University of Australia, 1981 to 1982, lecturer Gender Studies, Furobe College, 2002 to 2008, head of the Chemistry Department, Furobe College, University of Australia, 1998 to 2003. Dr. Nana Pratt is an active participant in women's issues, particularly those relating to the promotion and empowerment of women, 1992 to date. Reacting to the inquiries of the committee about her knowledge of the NPAA, Dr. Nana Pratt said that the NPAA was established in 2012 for the purpose of conserving forested areas and protecting the wildlife within those areas. Question on her readiness for the daunting challenges of seaside wetlands, which were illegally being cleared for the construction of houses, Dr. Nana Pratt assured the committee that she was quite prepared, and I quote, "I believe that with the cooperation of the other members of the MPAA board, we will sustainably tackle the challenges together and prepare to provide the leadership," she said. God closes. Responding to further questions on the massive encroachment on mangrove swamps for human settlement, Dr. Nampra said, and I quote, "Some strategies are already in place. I'll wait to get there to see what the strategies are, what the gaps are, what more is needed to be done to ensure enforcement and compliance with the law. There are many laws and bylaws on how people should interact with the environment in a sustainable manner. If there are people who do not want to do the right thing, I think we will have a way to get them to do so. It is for all of us, including the various institutions, to collectively enforce it," court closes. Dr. Nana Pratt believed that people need to be conscientized on the importance of sustainable use of the environment. Questioned on her personal limitations, Dr. Nana Pratt said, "Sometimes," and court opens, "sometimes I have the knack of wanting to coerce people into doing the right thing. But these days, people resist a lot by talking about their human rights. People want you to be over-tolerant, and I'm having difficulty with that at my age. I want to instill discipline and firmness for people to know the boundaries. If they try to resist, well, I'll use both the carrot and the stick, she concludes. Two, Brigadier General Usman Touré. There goes a distinguished officer. Brigadier General Usman Touré, proposed member, Minerals Advisory Board. Brigadier General Usman Touré started his working life with the noble profession of a classroom teacher, 1988 to 1991. In 1991, he enlisted in the Republic of Sierra Leone Armed Forces, RSLAF, as a cadet officer. Through hard work and dedication to duty, he rose to his current position. Responding to probing questions on the functions of the Minerals Advisory Board, Brigadier General Usman Touré said that the board is meant to advise the Minister of Mines and Mineral Resources on the licensing and sale of minerals of this country to potential investors. He did not see his appointment to the Minerals Advisory Board as a diversion from his military duties. Rather, he viewed it as a fulfillment of the oath he had sworn to faithfully serve his country in whatever capacity his commander-in-chief might require of him. Answering to further questions, Brigadier General Usman Touré promised to ensure that licenses are given in the best interest of the country. Quote, I will insist that the background checks on prospective investors to ensure their genuineness of intention and suitability in terms of financial strength before giving such mining licenses is always strictly adhered to. Quote closes, he said. On the issue of some mining companies using hazardous waste materials like mercury in the mining process, he said, and I quote, "We will do our best because, coming from a science background, I know mercury to be very dangerous. It kills. If we find any company using such hazardous materials, we will warn them against the use of such materials, and if they persist, the necessary recommendations for punitive action will be made." Quote closes, he said. Four, recommendations. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the committee adjudged the following presidential nominees to be adequately qualified for their proposed appointments, and they are accordingly recommended to the House for approval. One, Dr. Nana Clarice F. Pratt, Chairman, National Protected Area Authority, NPAA. Two, Brigadier General Usman Touré, Member, Minerals Advisory Board. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the fourth report is a unanimous decision of the committee. I therefore move that the fourth report of the fifth session of the Committee on Appointments and the Public Service be adopted by the House, and that the recommendations contained therein be approved. The Honourable Fofana, Chairman, Appointments Committee.
Any seconder?
Mr. Speaker, I so second.
Honourable members, the question is that the fourth report of the fifth session of the Committee on Appointments and the Public Service be adopted by the House, and that the recommendations contained therein be approved. Yes, Honourable Gladys.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honourable members, I feel honoured to serve in this capacity, but also very happy to be the first to open the debate on the approval of the nominees before us. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, honestly, when good people are appointed to serve in diverse capacities, even the walls of this parliament smile in acceptance. And it is only left with people who have developmental eyes
to see the smiles and interpret the smile. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the two nominees before us are very fine people. These are people who have served in diverse capacities, in sweetness, and even in time when we had the war in this country. These people, though capacitated sufficiently, adequately trained to serve outside of this country, they stayed in to see the end of it all. Honestly, when the two nominees appeared before the Committee on Appointments, as you've heard, their presentations were so good. And it was more interactive and educative for us all as committee members. The two nominees before us are before us not by coincidence, but because H.E. the President thought it good that for sure, as we come down to the end of our term, our five-year term, that they still have a lot of resources to contribute to changing the development dynamics of this country. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the two positions that these people have been nominated to serve in are very much related. And if you go through their CVs, you realize that they are efficiently educated, well exposed and experienced to actually serve in that capacity. For sure, somebody is just whispering that. In addition, I tell you honestly, it's so sweet when we go back to the intention that God had beforehand. He created man and woman. So when a man, a capacitated man and a woman is appointed to serve in diverse capacities and they appear before us, definitely you tend to understand the reason why we still continue to talk about side by side, have a woman and a man. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the two, especially our senior brother, who will be serving as a board member in the Mineral Advisory Board, is well aware of the challenges, but also adequately energized to pull the others together to change the dynamics. In this country, for a very long time, we've been saying whether our minerals are blessing to us or a curse. Coming from a diamondferrous area, our brother, our teacher, our senior is ready to work with others. The interesting side of the debate was that both of them were very conscious of the fact that they are not going to work in isolation. And additionally, they were well informed about the laws that already exist that talks about their mandates. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, before I go to the next nominee, I'll just want the nominee, the brigadier, to understand that.
Look, you must stop that.
To understand that serving in that capacity, once a soldier, ever a soldier, a brigadier is a brigadier. Let's go ahead. Thank you. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, my brother will be going to serve in this capacity, and we know what it means to be a senior person in a security sector. Questions were posed to him as how relevant he will be in that position. But interestingly, it will interest you also to know that he already knows his limitations and is well informed about his responsibilities, which I'll again reiterate. You are going to serve in that board, not as the director or the minister of mines. The Mines and Minerals Act of 2009 clearly states your responsibilities and your limitations. One, it's clearly stated that it's an advisory board. So you are expected to advise, but also make recommendations and not to direct or command. With your wealth of experience, I have no doubt, and definitely this entire house has no doubt, in your ability to change the dynamics. We've suffered too long. Additionally, I want to say that conflict in this country has not been analyzed properly in the past. A lot of times we talk about the symptoms and not the root causes. A lot of our conflict, even the past war we had in this country, if you really analyze it well, is related to the resources we have, the minerals that we have. So therefore, in your approach, which again we cut across, because we can't talk about minerals if we don't talk about the environment, it cuts across. I would say use a conflict-sensitive approach. You have gone through a lot of, I went through your CV, you are well trained in handling conflict and analyzing conflict. A lot of times what we see is that the police have shot somebody because there was a riot, the people came out to say, no, we can't move, you've not paid for our movement. These things have not been adequately analyzed in the past. Using your conflict analytical skills, please look to that and see how the minerals of this land will benefit all of us, especially those in those communities. A lot of the people in this country who are poor happen to be those from those mining areas. People who are supposed to be rich are the poorest amongst Sierra Leoneans. And the mining areas, definitely, if you go there, you talk about child abuse, the highest are in those areas. You talk about violence against women, the highest you find there. You talk about homelessness, go there, you find them there. In your team, and as you expressed in the interview, see what you can do to bring the others on board and to make recommendations that will benefit this country. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I will now definitely zero on somebody whose contribution is responsible for my being here. She is theirs. She has saved so many lives. If in this country today we are talking about the emancipation of women, we are talking about more women in politics, we are talking about women, peace and security, I tell you, that person has been the brain behind it all. That person did not leave this country because of her education, or maybe even parental background to say, I'm going to leave because it's hot when we were at war. That person is a founder of many women's organizations and gender-related institutions and organizations in and out of this country. That person, the person's name is a household name in this country and beyond. I told somebody that you can even just Google her name. Her name says it all. That person is no other person, but yes, our mother, my mentor, your teacher or lecturer, the one who has contributed, an icon. I always say he's also a blood pressure riser because she is a tax-oriented person. She is a tax-oriented person. And therefore, being tax-oriented, she always wants to see results. Dr. Nana Pratt has served in so many capacities in this country and has contributed immensely to changing the developmental face of this country. For the position that we are here I know in a very short time we are going to approve them. As she's been nominated for, honestly, I tell you, she has the academic qualification, she has the professional exposure and experience. And what interests me most is that a lot of times when you see people of our age, especially in Africa, not just Sierra Leone, you find them thinking about retiring. But at our age, Dr. Nana Pratt, she still thinks there's a lot she can still offer. She is a mentor. And yes, Mama, your mentees are still ready to learn. Do your best. Again, I'll say failure is not an excuse. Once approved today. But let me also end by saying a lot of times we sit in our little corners and blame the government and blame parliamentarians. What we do here is what we are doing now. You have been nominated, sent to us, interviewed. We've seen your capabilities. We are here to approve or not to approve. But for sure, I'm convinced that this house is convinced that you can serve in those capacities. But a lot of times when they blame politicians, you tend to shy away from them and say, no, I'm not a politician, SO2. You are serving in those capacities. If this government fails, it means you yourself have failed. I always love what one musician says, that when you point your finger, the rest will point at you. How many times have you done, played your part to ensure that this country moves forward? So again, the president has appointed or nominated you to serve in those capacities. Simply, what he's saying and what we are saying is that we all can't be there together, but you have the tools. And interestingly, you have the interest. Go there. Play your part. Use your academic, your experience, but also the painful experiences you've had. One leads to the other. I always say, maybe the environment leads to minerals. If the environment is destroyed, then where will you find the minerals? But if you don't use the minerals well, judiciously, so maybe make the environment sustainable, you're leaving nothing for Mother Sierra Leone. So I will say to you, go. You are in it. You want to serve. Use your crowns. Use your best, your strengths to change the dynamics. We have a lot of environmental challenges, but I have no doubt that yes, my mama is capable of doing that. Auntie Nana, Mama, we continue to be proud of you. A lot of us here are your mentees or your students. Honorable Chairman, honorable members, let me end by saying that indeed, the people we have before us are ready to serve. They have the needed tools, skills to change the looks of the positions they are going to occupy. And therefore, I encourage this house to approve the nominees before us. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
That has been a marathon contribution by a seconder. So I thought nobody was going to say anything. I thought she has already spoken for everybody. Yes, Chief.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I want to join the honorable member from Mwemba to congratulate in advance Dr. Nana Pratt and Brigadier General Usman Touré. For Dr. Nana Pratt, you are here before us to be approved as chairman of the National Protected Area Authority. It is a very big challenge, and from your resume that is presented to us this morning, I don't have any doubt that you have a challenge and for which you are prepared to face. until we pay attention to land use planning in this country, we will always have environmentally related issues. As far as I know, as human beings, our relationship with the environment is of a symbiotic relationship. By this, I mean, if we don't look after the environment will never ever look after us. And that's a challenge. If you look at the Sustainable Development Goals of recent, interestingly, mining and water as a natural resource are not included in the Sustainable Development Goals. So there are discussions about that right now in certain fora outside Sierra Leone. But what I want to say here to you, like the Aberdeen Creek had been made a Ramsar site since 2002 by Wetland International. We have to find a way in this country to emphasize on land use planning, because if you are now the chairman, becoming the chairman of the National Protected Area after your ratification today, then we have to make sure where people should stay. We have to make sure where people should cut timber and where not to cut timber. I want to use this opportunity to please appeal to you that the protected areas outside Freetown, the Kangaroo Hills, the Gola Forest, the Loma Mountain, the Ting Hills, are under serious threat from loggers. And you also have to use line ministries like the Ministry of Agriculture, specifically the Forestry Division, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Ministry of Mines, and the Ministry of Lands. Because sometimes even exploration licenses have been issued by the Ministry of Mines in protected areas of this country. I wish you well. Coming to Brigadier General Usman Touré, I have known Brigadier General Usman Touré for over 40 years. We were together in secondary school, and we ended up together in Jala University College. I know from that time, I know from that time that wherever he finds himself in life, he will excel. But having said that, Brigadier General Usman Touré, as a member of National Minerals, the Minerals Board, there are also challenges. I come from Kono. I'm one of the paramount chiefs that come from the Diamondiferous Chiefdoms. I have seen cases where in exploration licenses are being issued to companies in places that are known for mining minerals even before I was born. And this is creating a lot of problems for paramount chiefs. As against distinguishing the responsibilities of the chiefs, as against the artisanal mining license holders, at the same time satisfying the condition for the exploration companies. And it will interest you, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, that some of these exploration companies take licenses and they do nothing for 4 years. And they expect we paramount chiefs not to issue artisanal mining licenses in those exploration licenses. It's a challenge, and I think we have to face it. Because in the Mines and Minerals Act, there's something they call the Diamond Area Community Development Fund, for example, which is a function of the total number of artisanal mining licenses issued per chiefdom. All the revenue that comes from exploration licensing is paid directly to the consolidated fund. And zero amount of that money does not come to any chiefdom in this country. So if we are getting bulk of our revenue for mining related resources from the total number of artisanal mining licenses we are issuing, then there is bound to be a conflict of interest there. And I want to suggest here, as an advisory body, you being a member of that board, you have to look at places where in exploration companies are applying, whether those places have been known for mining minerals before or not. Otherwise, there will always be a conflict. With these few words, Mr. Chairman, I wish both of you well and good luck, and ask my colleagues to approve you speedily.
The Honorable Veronica.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, Honorable Members, it is nice to be making tributes when people are alive. So when they are dead and you make another tribute, sometimes you might not hear, but now that the tributes are being made and you've heard, now that we have had the tributes made by our honorable here for our mother, I just want to continue with that. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, let me thank His Excellency. Even though he's going, but at least he has recognized some important people like our mother. A woman of substance, a mover, a shaker, a multiplier, a developmentally oriented mother, a God-fearing mother. I have no doubt. I have known this woman for the past 20 or more years. By then, she was the chairman, the national chairman of National Organization for Women. She has started, she started it before these other organizations. We have 50-50 Women's Forum and this. That's the founder of the women's organization. I have no doubt, Mama. I know you will do the best because you've been doing it. I have no doubt. When I saw your name this morning, I was so happy. I said, oh, if I don't say a word or lip service, I will not do justice to myself because you are my mentor. A woman who always smiles and gives you the appropriate advice as a woman. She made me, like what my sister said, I think with her few words and encouraging words had made me who I am today, or even have that guts to stand in front of thousands of people to talk. She gave me the order. And I want to say, this award today, it's above you, but I know that you are going to continue with it. I have no doubt to go and say, you will do this, you will do that. You just leave that with her. She will do exactly what is going there for. And let me tell you, she's not that type of person who you will say she's a politician, she's backing this person, she's back. She just believes in the right thing. That's the woman. A mover, a shaker. I will go on and on and on. These are the people, these are the women. We are talking of women, 30% or whatever. She's more than 60%. She is more than that. She is a woman of substance. These are the substance women that we are looking out for. I know if you go there, you will lead and we will follow. So I want to say congratulations in advance, and I hope and pray that you will do justice to what you have been there for. So the security man, I have no doubt again, to make you that far, I know that you are disciplined. And you heard from my sister, the minerals, I'm not coming from the Dimorphaeus area, we don't have mine in our area, but we are hearing and seeing. You know, when Kono sneezes, if there's problem, when Kono sneezes, we'll catch the cold. So therefore, because they say wise people come from the east and they settle down the west, where we come from. So with that, I know you will do justice because we want to see, and they are talking about illicit mining, this, that. In as much as you are going there as a board member, because there is a chairman there, you don't have to do more than the chairman, but you give your expertise, soldierly advice to make sure that things work. So with that, I just want to say thank you and thank His Excellency for appointing. You know, we are talking about 50-50. Now it's working because one man, one woman, it's a zipper system. So I want to say thank you and I wish you well. And I want to ask my colleagues to just continue or just to say hallelujah. These people should go and work because we want to see you at work now. Thank you very much.
Honorable Hassan, after that CD, you will represent the minority leader. Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for giving me the opportunity here. And normally, when the first contributor started, she gave preference to the Brigadier General. But coming from the old school, we say ladies first. And deservedly so.
Honorable Hassan, did she?
Yeah, I think she.
She preferred. No, she did not. She did not. Go on.
Whatever, I want to justify why I should start with the lady. I first of all interacted with Dr. Nona Pratt when I was a student at Probe College. She indeed was a lecturer at the chemistry department. I was in liberal arts faculty. But knowing her since then, I knew she was one of the inspiring people in that department, and she demonstrated her leadership attributes from the early days, that was in the early 80s when I was a student. And since I knew her, Dr. Nana Pratt has always shown signs of leadership. She has always been steadfast in whatever she does and have shown commitment to whatever cause she always finds herself. And fast forward, when I came to be involved in women's affairs, I interacted with Dr. Nana Pratt. We met at different conferences, meetings, etc. So, having met Dr. Nana Pratt, and then I came to understand that she had been given this position, I know those people who are in the National Protected Area Authority must know that it's not going to be business as usual anymore. Because she is an achiever and she is always very committed to what she does. And now, coming from the chemistry department, being a women's activist, and now coming to the National Protected Area Authority, I think she is, it is but fitting that the president has always thought about the people who would be fitting to serve in certain areas. And at this point in time, I think that is a challenge that she will be able to meet. And I'm sure that there will be a difference when she takes that office. Dr. Nana Pratt, I want to say that even though you have not been confirmed, but I'm sure my colleagues in this house, in the Honorable House, will definitely approve you because of your track record. And I'm sure that you will not disappoint this house, because we've always appointed people, nominated people, we approve them here, but some people sometimes will not fulfill their obligation. But with you, I'm sure that we will not be disappointed and will support you through and through to achieve the objective that you have set out to achieve. Coming to the Brigadier General, he was fortunate to attend the government secondary school for boys, Maboroka. You were fortunate. Yeah, you were not. He was fortunate to attend boys' school because we produced the best president anyway. We have produced the best president, question that. And, but he, fortunately again, the Brigadier General happened to have an admission number, which is I'm not going there.
Order, Tolly, allow him to say what he wants to say, please. Okay, never mind.
You are still struggling to even have a candidate from Sikisi. Okay, anyway, the Brigadier General here, from his position, we know that the military implied discipline. And for somebody to have gone through the ranks to become a Brigadier General, like he has done, I know he is a disciplined person. And having known him for quite some time now, he will definitely be able to influence things at the Minerals Agency. And just recently, when we are passing the Finance Act here, an area was injected into that bill, which was talking about resources, like the Parliament Chief from Kano was talking about resources to be allocated to areas that are more affected from this, mining activities. Those are areas we will want you to actually pay attention to, so that those people who are being, who live in those areas will actually benefit from the resources that are coming from their areas. So, with that short brief, I want to say that we wish you well if approved, and hope that you will give the best like you've always done in this particular agency. Thank you very much.
Sidi Tonis.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, today again we have few nominees before us for approval. Today, as somebody was saying, it's 50-50, one man, one woman. Both nominees, Mr. Speaker, honorable members that we have before us, are achievers in their own rights. Dr. Nana Pratt is a household name in this country. She has contributed to the development of Sierra Leone. She has contributed to the development of so many individuals in this country. So I have no doubt that her new role as the proposed chairman, National Protected Area Authority, will definitely not be a major challenge for her for achievement. Dr. Pratt, I just want you to understand that the challenges in the protected areas are very much severe. And the problems that we are having in the protected areas are coming from individuals that are supposed to know better in this country. Not the poor people. We are talking about the mangrove areas that people are building zinc shacks. But what about the forested areas? Guma Valley Water Company, the Guma Dam, is having major challenges today because of quote-unquote big men in this country who are supposed to know better. But believe me, knowing the kind of person that you are, and as chair of that organization, I believe you will put to rest some of these problems and challenges that we have in those areas. In the mangrove areas, I believe it's easy. The responsibility does not just lie with the people who are occupying those areas, the poor people, but also with government to provide areas for them to move to. Because you cannot move them from the mangrove areas and they abandon them. We must provide areas for them. I therefore we encourage you to work with your colleagues to ensure that those people are relocated, and also to ensure that you name and shame those, quote unquote, those big men who are destroying our forests in this country, especially in the western area. For the Brigadier Touré. Brigadier General Touré, you know, I always admired military people.
Thank you very much.
I always admired them. Probably it's because I always wanted to be a soldier. Unfortunately, I couldn't, but I'm sure one day I will wear the five-star. I will be a five-star general when that time comes. And I will be commander-in-chief. Brigadier Touré, your role as a member of the Minerals Advisory Board is not a small one. You know, a lot of people will look at the Mineral Advisory Board as just a common advisory board, but it's not like that. The issuance of licenses in this country rests with your recommendation. the recommendation that comes from this board is what the NMA, is what the Ministry of Mineral Resources will consider for the issuance of licenses. So it's not just an advisory board. Because of your background, your discipline, your commitment, your patriotism, I believe you will bring about a lot of changes in this Mineral Resources Board. I'm telling you, if Minerals Advisory Board is actually doing its work, we will not have many problems in the mining sector. But
Mr. King, go on. This last day,
Okay, so now. Brigadier, I would therefore ask you to work with your colleagues to bring discipline and sanity in the Mineral Advisory Board, the Ministry of Mines and Mineral Resources, the National Minerals Agency. Depend on you, on your advice and your recommendations. You are coming at the right time because by tomorrow or day after tomorrow, the opening of the bid for the 709 carat diamond will take place at the Bank of Sierra Leone conference room. So I will be there. We are going to be there. I'm sure the brigadier is going to be there. Having said that, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I will encourage my colleagues to support the committee and to approve the recommendations of the committee of our appointments. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Leader.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members. Mr. Speaker, I think you will agree with me there is nothing more to say after having listened to the spirited contributions made by both the mover of the second of the motion and the honorable members. I'm sure they have said it all, and I only want to encourage them to approve of the nominees before them. I have, however, assured the nominees on behalf of Parliament that this committee has the power to recall, and the MDAs need to know that your appointments are not made forever and ever. Even before the end of your time, we have a right to recall you here if you feel you are not performing. And I have given the same information to the nominees that are before you. Having said that, Mr. Speaker, and the fact that we have, like, if you are looking at the balcony, we have a whole lot of visitors waiting for another pending bill for this House to debate, I want to move that to please approve expeditiously the nominees before you. I thank you very much.
Honorable members, the question is that the fourth report of the fifth session of the Committee on Appointment and the Public Service be adopted by the House and that the recommendations contained therein be approved. All those in favor say aye. Those against say nay. The ayes have it.
Motion of the Committee on Appointments and the Public Service has been ratified.
Well, Madam Nana Pratton, the landed Brigadier General, on behalf of Parliament, I congratulate you. Honorable Leader, I know Dr. Nana Pratt was by far your senior at Frabe. Yes, she was. Mm. Honourable members, the seconder, Gladys, the seconder of the motion did say, among other things, or did say inter alia is among other things, not be, as I've said before, that is mostly misused by people. The seconder of the motion has said it all about Dr. Nana Pratt, that hers is a household name. All I am left to say here, by way of summarizing, is that Dr. Nana Pratt is a national celebrity as well as an international icon. She's a highly principled woman, if you know her. She's a woman plus. Highly disciplined. Very strict. Scrupulously strict. Perhaps I would even say uncompromisingly strict. But at the same time, she's a very kind-hearted somebody. I say kind-hearted because in our days at Frabe, she used to give us lift from Model to Frabe. And at one time, believe me, we were there almost stranded. After she had given some students lift to Frabe, she would come down again to lift the others. Very kind-hearted. Some of us will never forget her. And some of us have the greatest regard and respect for her. I know she will perform. She's still physically fit. She has assured me that she's still physically fit to serve. The learned behavior, well, the chief has spoken so much about you, I have no doubt that you will excel. You will acquit yourself creditably and diligently. I wish you well. Thank you very much. Madam, you can go. You can go now.
Yeah. Mr. Speaker.
Yes.
I thought I heard you say you are giving a lift to going to college.
From Model?
Yes, sir.
From Model to Frabe College, yes.
During my time, I was driving my own car going to college.
It was in America. Yes.
Bill. Private Members Bill. The Community Health Practitioners Act.
Honorable ML Mansari, please come and occupy the podium. Honorable members, please listen. And for the new members, I want you to learn here. You would recall that we had dealt with this particular bill. In fact, what remained then was just a presentation of the report from the Legislative Committee. So virtually, we had finished with it. But because we did not conclude before the beginning of this session, we'll have to begin all over. That is the rule. That is our own rule here. Please, I want you to understand that, particularly the new members. So, what I will expect is accelerated debate, please, because we don't have time to go over everything again. But we'll have to begin afresh. That is what our standing orders say. And that is what the tradition also says about bills. Yes? The clerk.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members.
Accelerated.
I move that the bill entitled
the Community Health Practitioner Bill 2017 be read for the first time.
Honorable members, the question is that the bill entitled the Community Health Practitioner Act 2016 be read the first time. All those in favor say aye. All those against say nay. The ayes have it.
The bill entitled the Community Health Practitioners Act 2016 has been read the first time. Second reading.
The right Honorable Speaker, Honorable Members, I am again honored and privileged to present to this noble house the concept of moving the motion for a Community Health Practitioner Act 2017. The key aim of my presentation is to provide clear understanding on the community health cadre in Sierra Leone and the need to regulate the practice of community health practitioners. Mr. Speaker, Honorable Members, the concept of a community health is about the health of the whole population and prevention and treatment of common diseases from which the community suffers. Yes or no? No. The establishment of the Institute of Health Science, the development of the Department of Community Health and Clinical Sciences in the University of Sierra Leone, and the training program for medical assistants had been recommended since 1973. By then, the President, His Excellency Dr. Shakapi Stevens, in his inaugural address, by his inaugural address as Chancellor of the University of Sierra Leone in 1983, the presidential school was established in furtherance of this recommendation. And the first set of community health officers, CHOs and CHAs, health assistants, were recruited. Since then, to date, there has been no legal instrument to regulate the status of CHOs and CHAs and the performance of their duties in line with best practice. The bill, therefore, will not only bring CHOs and CHAs in line with other medical professionals, such as doctors, nurses, pharmacists, but also hold the CHOs and CHAs responsible for all their actions during practice. The bill further seeks establish a regulatory board for the practice of a community health in Sierra Leone. There will also be a clear understanding on the concept of community health cadre, and the role of a community health practitioners in Sierra Leone. Mr. Speaker, Honorable Members. The training of CHOs and CHAs lasts for 3 years, followed by the post-basics supervised internship. The first set of CHOs graduated in 1986. The training of CHAs lasts for 2 years, followed by other years post-basic supervised internship. Unfortunately, never since the inception of the CHOs program, there was a visible scheme of service for CHOs until 2015, when it was finally endorsed and adopted by the grading committee of the civil service. Up to now, however, there is no act of parliament to regularize the practice of CHOs and CHAs. This led a greater dissatisfaction and feeling of being neglected by the government among the CHOs cadre. Hence, the decision by the Sierra Leone Association of Community Health Officers, LACO, to lay down their tools strike in 2012. The strike action led to intensive negotiation between the MO, Ministry of Health and Sanitation, and SLACO that year. The negotiations was facilitated by the Human Rights Management Office, HRMO, and some civil societies, including the health of all coalitions, the Health Alert, which resulted to an agreement. The MOHS and the SLACO body, among the issues discussed and agreed upon, was the upgrading of the community health officers, CHOs, with certificate and or higher diploma from health technical grade 5 to grade 6, and the remaining of these set of CHOs as community health technician. However, CHOs with bachelor's degree and or master's degree remain to be CHOs. Also, the negotiation led to the establishment of the office of the chief CHO, which today is now in function. However, I must give the rationale or the aims of this bill. The Right Honorable Speaker, Honorable Members, the primary aim to establish the School of Community Health and Clinical Sciences, formerly Pramerica School, is to train prevalent health workers to meet the requirement of primary health care, including all of facets. Accordingly, the training programs for CHOs and CHAs were based on the fundamental of primary health care. This includes mental and child health, reproductive health, family planning, nutrition, immunization, water and sanitation, surveillance and effective control of epidemic-prone diseases, diagnosis and treatment of common diseases. Diagnosis, the health education and community engagement and empowerment, mental health, oral health, and community-based rehabilitation. Mr. Speaker, Honorable Members, however, I must present to this noble house some of the achievement that this institution have done. Mr. Speaker, Honorable Members, nearly 50 CHOs are currently pursuing bachelor's degree in community health and clinical sciences. Over 30 CHOs to 40 CHOs have done their master's degree. At least we can now boast of having 10 to 11 CHOs that are now pursuing their doctorate. And we have CHOs who are currently PhDs already. Okay, all right, okay. Honorable Members, however, let me again list some of the challenges we have as an institution. Uncoordinated movement of CHOs and CHAs, the failing standard of the CHO-CHAs training program, lack of policy treatment framework for community health services at national level, no act of parliament regulate the practice of community health practitioner. Mr. Speaker, Honorable Members, with this brief analysis of the proposed Community Health Practitioner Act 2017, I want to express my sincere thanks and appreciation to your patience and time. Mr. Speaker, Honorable Members, I move Mr. Speaker, Honorable Members, I move that the Community Health Practitioner Act 2016 be read for the second time. 2017 be read for the second time.
And have that corrected on the other paper, please. Honorable Members, the question is that the bill entitled the Community Health Practitioner Act 2017 be read the second time. Yes, Doctor. 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are over 2,500 to 3,000 CHOs working in our government hospitals in the private sector. They are the ones manning our community health centers. If you look at the bulk of the work in the medical practice in our country, it is done by this body of professionals. It is, therefore, very important, Mr. Speaker, that this body be regulated. Since the establishment of the school in 1983,
yes,
and the first group of graduates in 1986, up to today, this body,
the first group of
CHOs graduated in 1986.
Did you say graduates or graduates?
Graduates.
Yes. There is a difference between graduates and graduates. I hope you know.
Okay.
The first group of graduates.
Group of graduates.
Yes, once you finish a graduate.
Okay.
In the process of finishing a graduate.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
Thank you. Other countries, Mr. Speaker, other countries like Malawi, Liberia, Ghana, Tanzania, Uganda, they've established, they've enacted laws to regulate their middleman power. And if you go all over the world, you will see middle manpower professionals being trained and regulated. Unfortunately, this has not been achieved in our country. Today will be a milestone if our parliament could enact this bill. The role of the CHO, sir. The CHOs today are in charge of our PHUs. The STPs, the surgical training program. If you go around our district hospitals today, you will find out that most of the basic surgical procedures, saving lives, is being carried out by our STPs. And we owe a lot to them because of the tremendous work they are doing, and they are well appreciated throughout. We have today CHOs who are doing anesthesia, CHOs doing ophthalmology, CHOs doing public health. Therefore, this cadre of professionals is so important that they need to be regulated. Today we are talking of a new school that is being established in McKinney, the School of Clinical Sciences. We presently have a cadre of clinicians who are not regulated. What will be the future of this new group that are presently doing their prelim? And sooner they will be doing a 4-year training course. If the first set of people being trained are not regulated, what about this new group that is being trained? I therefore feel it is compelling that we regulate and enact this law. Enacting this bill will help us to achieve several benefits. One, it will motivate the CHOs, the STPs, and all the people that are in this cadre of professionals. Because now they will feel secured in performing their duties. It will encourage the new students that have been enrolled in the School of Clinical Sciences. Mr. Speaker, I believe that all of us seated here, who are representatives of various communities, we have a community health centers in our settings. Either our loved ones, our children, our wives, our brothers or sisters, they've been treated by CHOs. Here in Parliament, we have a health center that is being managed by a CHO. I therefore feel that it is sad to say that with all the good work this cadre of professionals are doing, they are not regulated. And many a time, there is a feeling of neglect, there is a feeling of marginalization. Because of this, it has pushed some of the young people to quit the profession because they feel there is no future. Enacting this law today will open a new opportunity for these young people to know that they are pursuing a field that has a future, that is regulated, and that is recognized. Mr. Speaker.
Your time is up. Believe me, that has been a very good contribution. So just stop there. Excellent. Honestly, that is excellent. So don't spoil the show. Tolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honorable members.
2 minutes, Mohammed.
Let me join the chairman and the presenter of this document before this House to really bring forth to this honorable House the importance of these fine ladies and gentlemen in the medical profession. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, since the inception of this institution in 1983 to now, these fine ladies and gentlemen in the medical profession have really done so much in terms of bringing the medical profession to the far rich areas of this nation. I must draw your attention during the war in this nation. And you and I do know
King.
That we really do not have enough of this nation. But when you watch the of these fine ladies and gentlemen, they really have done enormous job to make sure they save life. Most times we only come to know about our brothers and sisters here now present, how important they are. Sometimes I really do not need to elaborate more on their importance, because during the war in 1991, a good number of our medical doctors left this nation for fear of one thing or the other. These same CHOs and some other few medical officers were with us in this nation. They helped to take care of the wound, sick, and so many other people. For me not to waste time, even during this Ebola time, had it not been for the intervention of these CHOs, I tell you for free, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, these guys, they are heroes. They are heroines. We must give them this accolade. I think the same goes, you labor and expect. But these people have labored for so long, but they have not really tapped what is expected from them, from the hands of social unions. We've really derailed what it means to be a CHO. But to me, today, heaven has come. And I don't know whether it's by coincidence, this institution was established by the then president, Dr. Shelka P. Stevens. And here again, during this particular time, we bringing life to these same people. I want to believe heaven has indeed come for them. Let these people be really admired out. To me, if they are to be effective, if effectiveness is to take place, they must be efficient. So on that note, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I am calling on us all here to speedily ratify this document for these gentlemen and ladies to really laugh by the time they leave here. I call on you all to really ratify the document. Thank you.
Anna, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Two minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for this very 2 minutes that you have given me. I want, first of all, to compliment my colleague, Member of Parliament, who has so proudly presented this bill to this noble house. I thank you very much, Honorable from Kwanadubo. And I also want to thank my colleague healthcare professionals sitting up there proudly watching us debating this bill. And I want to thank His Excellency for his continued support in promoting the healthcare field. During the prelege, much of our concerns have been addressed. And today, we are here to ratify a bill which will promote the health of individuals in this country. I can only advise and caution. Yes, indeed, we are healthcare professionals. As has eloquently been said, we talk about standards of best practice. The CHOs do not replace the services of healthcare professionals. The CHOs do not replace the services of nurses. We all have to work in close collaboration and close cooperation so that the health of our people will be in the best standards of practice. I thank you all for coming here this morning, and I just want to admonish you, because you are in our most rural communities. You are in the villages, but please, I am appealing to you all not to do all you can, but do all you can to save the lives of people in the villages. Do all you can. Don't say pauper. If you know whatever is being presented to you is not within the best, within your best practice, don't do the pauper. And do the pauper to meet your other people in order for you to save lives, not the pauper at the detriment of other people. I thank you all, and I ask my colleague, Member of Parliament, to ratify this bill.
Sorry, Para and Moses, let me ask the professionals. Nabu Kaikai. Nabu, 2 minutes.
Okay,
Nabu
2 minutes.
Kaikai, 2 minutes, please.
Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker, for recognizing that I'm a health professional, a very senior one. It makes me very proud to stand here and talk about a bill that I have knowledge of and understanding of. I thank you so much, my colleague from Konadugu, for bringing this bill to this well. As a health professional, I was so shocked to realize that CHOs in this country are not regulated. So it is about time that they are regulated.
Sorry, Navo, you'll continue. But I recognize the fact that Moses is also a professional in this area. But I will, you will be the last then, because of such a reason, we are going to close the debate very soon. Continue. 1 minute more.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. CHOs are so important in this community, especially where I come from in Kailang. There was a time we didn't have a medical doctor in Kailang. And there's a CHO, they used to call him doctor. And I was saying, why is he a doctor? Because of the things he did. Not that he did things that he didn't understand or he didn't know how to do. He performed surgeries. In fact, my uncle from the village had hernia. If it was it for a CHO, he would have been dead by now. So I want to say thank you. And I do encourage that when this bill is passed, as my colleague have said from the other side, we have to know our limitations. I'm a nurse, I'm not a doctor. I'm a health visitor, I'm not a midwife. So you need to know your limitation. We need to work together, understanding each other, helping each other and assisting. And one thing I would like to encourage you is really to step up and give advice where you need to give advice. Because sometimes, you know, when you're a nurse or a CHO, you might feel sometimes inferior to even tell the doctor that what you're doing is wrong. And when you are regulated, it is your responsibility to ensure you challenge where you have to challenge. You just don't carry out duties that you are not capable of doing because you've been asked by the doctor or the practitioner to do. You need to be regulated and stand by your ethics. You challenge, you don't carry out things they are not supposed to carry out, and you need to tell the doctor or whoever that, you know what, I'm not capable of doing this. And also when you are regulated, it becomes the responsibility of the professional, the profession, and even the government to make sure you are regularly updated. Because without being regularly updated, you will not perform your duties as you should perform. So I will encourage this House, when the time comes for us to pass this bill and for the people to be regulated, then it creates safety for not just themselves, but for the clients. Because when you know somebody that is treating you is regulated, then you can question that person if something goes wrong. So thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to see us as a professional.
CD Tunis. One minute.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I don't think there is much to say about this bill. We have already completed the debate before now. Mm-hmm. We want to call on my colleagues to support it and also to pass it into law. Thank you.
Yeah, the leader.
Honorable members, but for the CHO attached to Parliament here, I would have been a dead man last week. As I move around, this is the second dose of Lokmal tablet that I'm taking now. I had a very serious attack of malaria, and it was almost going into my brain. After his examination, he did a blood test, he did a prescription, and I thank God and Mr. Kamara that I'm able to stand here this morning. Having had that experience, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I'm 100% in support of this bill, and I will urge every member of parliament, especially those who come from the provinces, because like the honorable from Kailan said, there are places that do not have any medical doctors. Our doctors are the CHOs, and those are the people we rely on. Having said that, Mr. Speaker, I want to support the bill and urge every member of parliament to do so. And thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Honorable members, order. Honorable members, the question is that the bill entitled to the Community Health Professional Act 2017 be read the second time. All those in favor say aye. All those against say nay. The ayes have it.
The bill entitled the Community Health Practitioners Act 2017 being an act to establish the Community Health Practitioners Board for the purpose of regulating all professional community health service providers in the performance of their duties and for other related matters has been read a second time.
Yes. Sit down. Sit there, ML. Yes. Yes, I know. What is the next stage? What is wrong with you? Put committee stage.
Committee stage. The House resorting to committee.
Yes, Mr. Leader.
I signed on SO-51-1.
Yeah.
And I move that the bill be sent to committee stage until when next we meet here, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, honorable member, that is quite understandable because as I did tell you, in fact, what could have happened today was simply the presentation of the legislative report, the committee report. Yes, you see. So, therefore, any seconder to the motion?
Considering the importance of this bill, I so second, Mr. Speaker.
So, the bill is now committed to the legislative committee. So, when we come next, we are only going to have a presentation of the report. Thank you very much. Announce again, please.
The bill has been committed to the legislature.
The House is
The House is doomed.
Any announcement? Honorable members.
This has become here.
Well, just 30 seconds. Abu, 30 seconds.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I stand on SO 23.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, the Deputy Speaker of Social Welfare, and the Deputy Minister, The deputy minister.
Order!
Excuse me, the deputy speaker.
Sorry, Abu.
The deputy minister.
Don't blame him. Abu is in love.
the deputy minister of social welfare, we wish to express our sincere thanks and appreciation to all the members that went to Lonsar and Putlok on the 27th and 28th, respectively, to grace our.
Yeah.
Lonsar and Putlok to grace our wedding. I want to single out our right honorable the speaker of this parliament, the right honorable SBB Dumbuya, who, in fact, on my request to ask him to be one of my godfathers, and without any hesitation or any doubt, he graciously accepted instanta. So, and he was there physically in person.
Abu, the only regret was that I should have been there with Veronica. Gone.
So, Mr. Speaker, we want to thank you very much, sir. Secondly, we want to thank Honorable Bernadette Lahai, who also graciously accepted the request of my wife to become one of our godmothers. And she was also there. We also want to thank Mr. Honorable Ansu Kaikai, who was also one of my godfather. And I want to thank my brother, Radu, who gave a very wonderful speech on behalf of the SLPP, the APC, and the guests. I thank you very much, my brother. Finally, I want to thank everybody that went there. We had a very good time. Thank you very much.
And I would want to associate myself with those sentiments, particularly the tribute spirit to the SLPP people. Although Bernadette and Ansu were there, but believe me, the person I like to commend here is Fode Rado, because he's always, whether it is APC, SLPP, he takes part. And that should be the spirit. In this parliament, we are one and the same. Let the people outside quarrel over their politics, but we're a family here, and that has always been demonstrated. Thank you very much. Yes, time.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I stand on SO23.
Yeah.
Mr. Speaker, I stand
go on
to register my dissatisfaction about an incident that took place yesterday,
yeah,
at the Sierra Leone Commercial Bank. Mr. Speaker, honorable members,
style. I will discourage you. Yes, yes, Anne, announcement.
Announcement. The following parliamentary committees meet as follows: Energy Committee, New Administrative Building, after adjournment. Committee on Political and Public Affairs, meeting committee room number 1 at 2 p.m. Committee on Health and Sanitation in the conference room of the administrative building to discuss committee work plan. Committee on NGOs and NACSA.
Oh, this is the long ago. Now the key people are not around. Well, okay, well, you go tell them, say, with the defense.
Committee on Tourism and Cultural Affairs. Meet in the administrative building after adjournment.
Honorable member, the House is adjourned to Thursday, the 11th of May, 2017, at 10 a.m. Thursday, this is the 11th or 10th? The 11th, yes.